be here tomorrow afternoon. We'll have a great time, and the Lord's going to bless us. Are you still glad you're here? Say amen. Would you? Amen. Take your Bible now. Let's look in the scriptures. In the third chapter of the book of John, we'll begin reading the verse 1 and read a few verses of the scripture. John chapter 3. And let's read together in the word of the Lord tonight. In John chapter 3, we find Jesus talking with a man at night. Somebody said, why did he come at night? I don't know. Bless God, he came. That's the main thing. Hallelujah. I don't care when a man comes to Jesus, just so he gets there. Amen. I heard people say, well, it's a shame. No, one of the fellows told me he's busy. He didn't have time. Only come at night. Well, I said, bless God, he got there. That's the main thing. He came to Jesus. And if you have your Bible, I want you to notice in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, let me stop long and say this. In the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, you could not be a ruler of the Jews unless you were clean, highly respectable, and a man of renown. Brother, you didn't cuss and swear and rip and drink and commit adultery and be a ruler of the Jews in the days of Jesus. And if that's the case, and it was the case, how much more ought we Christians hold a high standard? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Nicodemus had to be a man of renown, a very clean, upright man. Now, he wasn't a Christian, and you'll see in a moment. But as the scripture said, a Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now let me stop along and say that. That was a mistake. Jesus Christ was not a teacher come from God. He was God come to teach. Amen. Let's get it where it belongs. But he was God come to teach. Now notice verse 3 said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He said, why? Jesus, I never heard such a spectacle. Here I am, an old man, and you talking about being born a second time. Why, he said, I've been born once. Do you expect me to be born again? Jesus said, don't you marvel at that, brother. He said, don't you marvel. He said these words. Because ye must be born again. Now look back with me, please, in verse 3, and I'll show you something I saw that I didn't see before. He says in verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Would you underscore three words for me? He cannot see. He cannot see. Jesus said, except a man saved and born again, he cannot see. Now, I want you to underscore, because in a moment, I'm going to bring you a message on he cannot see. Every head bowed, every eye closed all over the house all these years. And I've been trying to preach the gospel. I didn't see this till the other day. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, why are you talking about being born again? And you don't understand it. You're talking about being old. And he said, but the trouble with you is you cannot see. Now I wonder why our heads from my eyes are closed tonight. How many people in this house know that you're right with God and you're ready to meet the Lord? Hold up your hand. Let me see it high. If you know you're ready, high, lift up your hand. Let me see it tonight. If you know that you're ready, hold up your hand. That's right. God bless you there. Now you can take your hands down, beloved. How many of you say, preacher, I couldn't hold up my hand then. I want to lift it up now. Lift it up. Let me see. Would you lift it up? Anywhere. All the way back. If you could lift it up then, let me see that hand. God bless you there. Amen. It's another. God bless you there. I see. It's another. You say, preacher, I couldn't lift up my hand then. Lift it up. There were two men already in the service. Lifted their hands and said they couldn't lift their hands. Being right with God. Would you lift it up tonight? It's another. While I wait just a moment, then I'm going to pray. Now I'm going to bring you a message on he cannot see. But before I do, it's another. It's another tonight. Anywhere in the house, lift up your hand. And say, preacher, remember me in prayer. Is there one more? If you're not right with God, step up that hand and be seen. All right? Beloved, let us pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight for these on this Saturday night that have come to the house of the Lord. We're glad tonight that one day that counter opened our eyes. Oh, thank God we can see. We're not being led in the blindness of sin and Satan. But thank God we've had our eyes open to a new world and to new things. And I pray that you'll speak to hearts of the servants. And may eyes be opened. And may hearts be stirred. And may these tonight that are not saved come to know Jesus. And may the backslider come back to God tonight. Bless Brother Cliff. We thank you for him. Oh, God bless this church. We thank you for it. Bless these dear preachers that have taken time to come to the service. Oh, may this be a glorious time. Bless the mothers and the dads and the sons and the daughters. And then our Father tonight for these that have prayed. Oh, God, we know the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we know that the kingdom of heaven tonight has been reached through prayer. And our God, we're so glad that men have prayed. And now, Lord, as I come to speak tonight, blindfold me with the blood. Give me a blackout on the world. And let me see spiritual things. And open up unto us tonight the things we need to see. And we'll thank you and we'll bless you. Because it's in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen and amen. Beloved, tonight I'm speaking on these three words. And he, our we cannot see. Did you know it's a pitiful spectacle to see a blind man walking down the street out here in Horse Creek Valley with a seeing eye dog unable to see? Why, you say, Brother Mace, that's a pitiful thing. And yet, my friend, let me say this tonight. I'll tell you something more pitiful. Here's a religious man in Jerusalem, a man highly esteemed in the religions of his day. But the Bible said when he came to Jesus, the Lord Jesus said, Nicodemus, ye cannot see. Which is more pitiful, a man that's spiritually blind or a man that's physically blind? Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul said that Satan had blinded their minds, and tonight they're spiritually blinded people in this country. By way of introduction tonight, let me tell you two things the devil had me blinded to before I became a Christian. First of all, he had me blinded as to what a fool that I was to live in sin. People used to tell me, said, son, you're too fine a young man to give your life to sin. But I couldn't understand it. I thought that the day's call and the things of the world and was the only life to live. I didn't know and I couldn't see that the yoke of sin was heavy. I couldn't understand it, but I mean that. I'm glad when I cut my eyes open. I saw what a fool I'd be in. The yoke of sin. Oh, when Jesus opened my eyes and the Holy Ghost gave me that spiritual operation. Thank God, I'm so glad I could see then that if a man carries sin and the yoke of sin, brother, he's a fool. And then secondly, I saw my friend, what I've been missing. You know, I've got a good mother and she'll be with me each night in the meeting next week. But when I was a little boy, she used to just cry. And she'd say, son, come up here. And I'd get up in her lap as a little kid. And the old tears would run down her cheeks and fall on the back of my neck. And my mother would hug me and pray over me and say, God bless my boy. Oh, you say, Brother Mays, is it good to have a mother like that? Listen, if we had more mothers like that, we wouldn't have so many kids on their way to hell. I'm sorry for these children that have one of these adulterated, cursing, smoking, drinking mothers in these days. But I want you to see Mother. She'd pray, oh God, show old maids that it's good to be saved. And Mother'd say, son, if you ever get saved, you know what I'm talking about. Every once in a while, my mother'd have a shouting spell. And I'd look at her and say, Lord, what's wrong with her? And now, bless God, since I'm saved, I can see what was wrong with her. Bless God, she's living in another world. The thing was real to her heart before I was saved. I couldn't see why people want to come into church on Saturday night when there's so much going on for the world. I couldn't understand why the people would pray and cry and people would shout. And now, bless God, I don't see why they don't want to do it. Oh, say, preacher, what's wrong? Spiritually blinded. But tonight, if you've got your pencils, I want you to jot down seven things that you need to have your eyes open. Seven things that the sinner cannot see. First of all, he cannot see salvation's well. I'm glad, glory to God, there's a fountain. Open up, bless the Lord, and if you're thirsty, you can come and get that fountain. I was down in Florida not so long ago. In a revival, he took me over to Postalino's way. You know what? And over there, you know what he did years ago? Had a warning in his nose. And thousands and thousands of dollars. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for a stream of water called the Fountain of Youth. And he went down here below Saint, down here in Florida, and found a little place called the Fountain of Youth. And he reached down and took a dipper, and he thought the water had fall off his nose. He thought that his hair would turn black again. He thought that his bent back would be straight, and that he'd be young. And he reached down and took a drink of that water. But the wart was still on his nose, and his hair was still gray. And I'm glad a few years ago, I turned to John 7, and I heard Jesus say on the last day of the great day of the feast, ever from the first of that, let him come and drink. His innermost being shall flow rivers of water. I'm glad in John 4, when a poor old sinful woman came down the hill from Samaria, she came to Jacob's well. And as she started to call on Jesus said, "Woman, would you give me a drink of water?" And she said, "How is it thou being a Jew ask of me, a woman of Samaria, for a drink?" And Jesus said, "Lady, if you knew who it was and the gift of God, you wouldn't be asking me for a drink." And then she said, "But Jacob drank from this well, and his father and the cattle back here." And Jesus said, "Listen, sister, if you drink of that water in this well, you won't get halfway up that hill. The perspiration will break out and you'll be thirsty again. But he said, if you drink of the water that I give unto thee, bless God, water that's not in the well." He said, "I want to guarantee you this, that you'll never thirst anymore." I'm glad the Holy Ghost 26 years ago took me to the well. And bless God, I'm glad there's one all around me. You can see the spiritual well. Oh, you say, "Preacher, listen, I like this. Genesis 21. The Bible said Hagar took the Ishmael, and she said, I've got my bread and my bottle, and we're going to go as far as we can." And she took that little boy called Ishmael until his lips popped open, and until he was about to die first. And the Bible said in Genesis 21, she laid him down, went over there to pray, and got on her knees. And she said, "Oh, God, my little baby's going to die first." But my Bible said an angel of Jehovah said, "Hagar, what ate of thee?" Said the Father in heaven has heard the cry of that little baby. And the Bible said her eyes were open. And thank God that there in front of her eyes was a well of refreshing waters. You say, "Brother Mays, all the tippies of the well was there all the time." If you're here tonight, beloved, and you cannot see God's well, what when the Holy Ghost opens your eyes, you can see the well of water. In Exodus 15, the Bible said they'd come 3 days. And boy, you talk about hot, they were hot. And oh, listen, he said, "Moses, do something, get us some water out here." And they came to a place called Marsh. And the Bible said when they came to the wells of Marsh, they reached down and they've been in the desert 3 days. And they started drinking. And they took the water out and said, "Oh, this water's bitter." Oh, Moses was God's man. And he said, "Now, Father, this water's bitter. And the Father said, "Moses, you see that tree? Cut it down and cast the tree in the waters." And the Father said, "Cut it down and threw the tree in the bitter waters." And then they went over around the leaves. And thank God, the sweetest waters they ever tasted. And tell you something, many a life has been bitter. But when the cool tree of Calvary goes into the bitter waters, they're made sweet. Many a home's been bitter, but the tree called Calvary has sweetened it up. Many personalities have been bitter, but the tree of Calvary, thank God, sweetens up the personality. God said that the saints are preserved and not pickled in jail. God, that the tree will make him for sweeter and sweeter on down the lane. Say, "Preacher, did you know, brother, when they get their eyes open, there's plenty of water for everybody." I'm glad that's God. There's not a drop on the spiritual water. There's enough to satisfy every longing soul in this country. When we get thirsty, bless God, we can go and drink of the water that comes from the well of salvation. Now notice in chapter 15, they went on down to Elam. And the Bible says that there's 12 springs in Elam. one night. Boy, I was having a time. I said, now, bless God, I don't want anybody to leave. I'm going to preach on the 12 wells of Elam. I said, the first well is justification. And bless God, I started preaching. I got over about the seventh well. My wife was sitting back there, and I said, oh, I said, looky here. After I get through the 12 wells of Elam, I said, the Bible said there's 7 palm trees. And my wife puts the lady next to her and said, Lord, have mercy. If he gets off on those 7 palm trees, we'll be here for 3 weeks.
Preacher, how could he see Jesus dead when he left so many years before?
saw the ram coming. I believe that's who they saw, Jesus. And on the old ram comes. I say to you that I challenge you to be over. Number three, there comes a time when we need to see heavens and ladder. The Bible said Jacob had run, and he ran. Brother, you talk about getting away. He ran till he came to a place he called Bethel later. And he took him a stone. He didn't stop it. One of these big motels, he got a stone. Brother Bill in the scripture said he laid down on the stone. There fell off to sleep. And while he's sleeping, the Lord reached over and put a ladder all the way down from heaven to earth. And old Jacob said, I saw the angels coming down and angels going up. Let me tell you something, everyone, I get discouraged. You know how I do? I don't call Dr. Bombstopper and Dr. Drumstick up. I slip out in the woods and I say, Lord, let the ladder down. Hallelujah. And I go up Jacob's ladder. Thank God. And I want to tell you something. You talk about a blessing when you're climbing up that ladder. It's a blessing. Praise the Lord. My Bible says he saw angels coming down and angels going up. Notice he didn't see them going up and then coming down. It's always heaven sins first. And the word of God said he awoke and he said, the Lord is in this place. And he said, this is a dreadful place. He said, this is the gate to heaven. And this is the house of God. And he saw the Lord standing at the top of the ladder. Did you know, brother, when you get discouraged, sister, when you get discouraged, let God, just let him show you that ladder. I'm glad Jesus has saved us the ladder. And thank God he reaches down from heaven to earth. I never will forget. And I've met a lot of preachers. And if I could find this preacher, I'd get $50 if I had to buy Martin Cliff over here. I don't have him without Martin Cliff, see. But I'd like to know where he is. I had him with me in a meeting and all. He just pray all the time. You think I pray hard and make you pray? You ought to be in this place. He prayed me today. I want to tell you, he prayed in the morning. He prayed at dinner time. He prayed at night. And every time I'd get around, people would pray. And I said, well, my goodness, there's something we got to do besides pray. He said, son, if you stay prayed up, you won't have any trouble. And he prayed. But I was with him in a meeting. I will forget. It was up there. He had a question about this church. I was with him in a meeting. He walked around. Amen. Glory. Amen. And he called his wife mother. And she loved God. And it's back to the Korean Second World War. And this was really, boy, it excited me. I tell you, it's back in the Second World War, not Korean. Back in the Second World War. And I was with him in a meeting. And he kept going around, hey, my man, keep on. We're going to have a life. I said, hey, man. And boy, I believe it. And his mother and wife kept saying, now, honey, honey. And he said, now, honey, listen. You get mother. He said, mother, you're going to kill this meat. And quit worrying about your boy. I said, God's going to take care of him. And she said, yeah, but Harley, he's supposed to land in California on that submarine. And Harley, he's on that dangerous thing and they're liable to blow it up before he gets there. Said, you know, they got all kinds of submarines. And said, Harley, I can't rest. Harley said, now, honey, you've got the rest. And boy, for 2 days, she liked to run me and Harley crazy. She'd walk around, oh, won't you do something? And old Harley say, hey, man, God is doing something. Mother, don't worry. And so on Friday, I never will forget. Harley came out and took his things, and I'm going down the woods. I'm going to stay with God like an angel. He went down, stayed 3 hours at 5:15. He came out of the woods waving hand. Woo! Woo! Amen, Jackson! Amen, Jackson! And I stuck my head. I said, what happened, Harley? He said, you know what happened? He said, glory to God. While I was down in the woods, said the Lord, let the same ladder down he did for Jacob. And said, Harley, climb it, son. And said, I climbed up high enough. I looked over South Carolina. I looked over Georgia. I looked over Mississippi. I looked over Texas. I kept climbing until I looked over California. And said, I saw the submarine come in. And he docked. And my boy standing up on the deck. And he said, I'm all right, Pa. He said, praise glory to God. I just climbed up Jacob's ladder. And she said, now, Harley, don't you tell that tonight. He said, I can't wait to get to the church. And And we went over to church that night. He told Miss Phillips, I could go down on the seat. But the next day, you know, we was at the house. And Harley said, honey, don't worry, mother, don't you worry. And about 2 o'clock, she went out to the mailbox. And she reached down and got some mail. And she came back up the yard. Woo! 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 And old Harley stuck his house door and said, what's wrong, mother? She said, I just got a telegram. Said, listen, Harley, at 5:15 yesterday our time, my boy docked in California. And I'll tell you, she's run out of Chapel me. Hallelujah, praise God. And she ran up to Harley and said, are you going to shout? He said, no, ma'am. I did mine yesterday. I got a special livery. I got a bless God. I heard me up. Bless God. A telegram from Gold. Jacob's ladder. He said, higher. That's when I did my shouting. Let me tell you tonight, I'm glad the Lord can open your eyes. And you can see Jacob's ladder. Praise God. Let's come to the fourth thing tonight. Real quick, the Bible said, and you'll get, the devil get you in a tight place. There's coming a time as a Christian when the devil's going to get you in a tight place. My Bible said there's a little bald-headed preacher. Well, watch out how you call a preacher baldy. You know what happened over there? They called him Isaac Baldy. Bible said two bears came out, killed 42 youngins. You better be careful. And so that's right. I'm not cheating. You're reading the Bible. But in this little bald-headed preacher standing out in Dothan. I don't know where Dothan is. I don't know where Dothan, Alabama is. I don't know where Dothan is. But anyway, he's out in Dothan. And he's standing around there. He's walking home. Hallelujah. And the servant said, what in the world are you shouting about? He said, don't you know LBJ sent a whole battalion? Bless God, he sent a whole army down here. He said, you thought Kennedy sent a lot of the Mississippi. But boy, they got them covered up around here. And you're shouting. And I hear Elisha and say, don't worry, son. There's more with us than be with him. We're on the winning side. Oh, I can hear that servant say, hey, don't you know that we're covered up with the enemy? I wish I could disturb the devil so in Atlanta until LBJ had sent the whole army after me. Hallelujah. I wish that preachers would be such God-fearing men until the government would send a whole army after the preachers. But you know what happened? You know what happened? Holy Elijah said, Lord, I can let this fellow in on something. He can't see a thing. He said, you get down and eat, son. And the Bible said the fellow got down on his knees. Oh, Elisha reached over and put his hand on his head. Here's what he said. Lord, open his eyes. And about that time, the fellow opened his eyes and jumped up. Elisha said, what do you see, son? He said, glory to God. Every mountain, every valley. He said, I see horses of fire and chariots of fire. He said, everything in heaven's come to our rescue. Bless God, the rescue squad of glory is down here. And don't worry now. Hallelujah, God's going to take care of us. Aren't you glad, bless the Lord, tonight that God has an army that'll take care of you, brother? You don't have to worry. There are chariots of fire and horses of fire. I was in Pawpaw, West Virginia. You ever been to Pawpaw? Years ago, I just started preaching. I wasn't afraid. Brother, I looked down. I looked down a loaded cannon barrel. I wasn't afraid, brother. I'd go in the pulpit and I'd stand up and preach like a tomcat spit in the back of juice and the bulldogs out. That's right. Oh, I wasn't afraid of nothing. And I was up there preaching. I had me a time. And I went around some of the houses up there in Pawpaw. You ever been to Cumberland, Maryland? It's not far from Cumberland. Some of you look like you've been there, so you know what I'm talking about. That's right. So I was up there and I went down to their homes and everybody had this old no hell literature. I said, my, that's terrible. I said, you bring it Friday night, all that old no hell literature, and I'm going to burn it right out in front of the church. And boy, they said, you better not, Mr. Jackson. Said, you're from South Carolina? And said, you better not. I said, I'm going to burn that stuff this coming Friday night. And so we had a bonfire. We piled up out in front of the church, you know. I got there and I said, what are you deacons to smoke candy match? You know, I went in the church, and brother, I want to tell you, I hadn't noticed him for that night. But every night in that service, there's a great big old double-jointed fella sitting over on my left. And he looked that night like he was mad. Now, I thought the devil told me, he said, buddy, said, you're going to, he'll hurt you. And I said, Lord, I'm not scared. Harry, am I? I said, you're going to take care of me. And you know, every night I've been walking down. If you ever go up to West Virginia, Pawpaw, you'll find the roads are down, way down. And then you'll find the houses are below the roads. These big old hills. And so I've been walking about a half a mile, West Virginia. South Carolina, brother, is 3 miles, yours and where? They told me it's a half a mile. Every night after I get through preaching, I'd change my shirt and I'd walk down and carry my Bible. And that night, I kept looking at that guy while I was preaching, brother. And I said, Lord, I'm not scared of him. And I'd say, praise God! He'd look at me and I'd look at him. And I'd shout, brother, and he wouldn't believe me, change his expression. I'd run over and holler, "Woo! Ouch!" And I'd get back up here and I'd preach a little. And so now I got through preaching, Brother Leach. The pastor said, "Brother Mays, it's just a half a mile. And I know you preached hard." And said, "You might want to ride home." I said, "Me?" I said, "Bless God, I'm not scared. I'm going to walk home tonight." And I got my Bible. And I went back, changed my shirt, and I came out, and that old guy stepped right in behind me. And brother, he was about 6'4". And I started out the door, and he right behind me. I said, "Lord, I ain't sorry." I said, "That poor English going, but it sure is the truth, haven't you?" I walked to the door. This old big fella right behind me, Brother Lee, sat in the car, said, "Brother Mace, would you like to ride?" I said, "No! Praise God, no! I'm going to walk! Hallelujah!" That guy stepped right behind me. And I walked down, hit that old West Virginia highway. Boy, that fella's right behind me. And he's walking in. Every time I take a step, he takes a step. And when I take a big step, he take a big step. And when I take a little bitty step, he take a little bitty step. And I got about a fourth of that mile. And I said to myself, "Now, Lord, if he's going to do anything, I'm going to stop. You tell Simon Peter to open the gates, because I may be coming home any minute, that's all." I stopped. And when I stopped, he stopped. And I thought, "Well, what are you going to do? Bless God, if you're going to do something, do it." But I didn't say anything. I looked down through my arm. That's where I'm standing. I thought, "Well, Lord, I thought something hit me in the back of the head, but it hadn't." So I walked on down. Brother Leach was already down the porch. Down where my whole back was his head down. He said, "Brother Leach, come on!" I looked at that great big old guy. "Hey, where?" And I walked down the steps and I got down there. Boy, I was brave then. I said, "Brother Leach, who is that big old bully standing up there?" He thought he scared me. And tell you the truth, my heart stopped four times. I said, "Who is it?" And he said, "Why, Brother Mays," said, "that fella's deaf and dumb." I said, "Deaf and dumb? He's been hearing me preach every night." He said, "He didn't come hear you. He come see you cut those dinos." Yes, sir. He said, "He just wants to see you cut those dinos." And I said, "Well, why in the world did he pick tonight to walk home with me?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you what." Said he was down at the store today, and where the apple growers meet, and said a man took a pencil and wrote on a little note and said, "They're going to hurt Brother Mays tonight." And said he took it out of his hand and read it, reached over and got the pencil and wrote, "Oh, no, they won't. I'll walk with him home and take care of him all the day." I tell you what I wanted to do. I wanted to go back and stroll over that same earth. Oh, no, listen. I wouldn't have been afraid of a black grizzly bear. I'd say, "Come on, bud, you have him. Have him." He was one of those big fellas. I want to tell you, just as sure as you're in this church tonight, brother, God's got an army, an invisible army around you. When we get our eyes open, there are chariots of fire and horses of fire that'll take care of us. Aren't you glad when we see it? What a blessing it is. Number 5, quickly tonight. If you turn to Hebrews 11, verse 27, when you get home, not now. The Bible said, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Oh, the scripture says, as enduring, seeing him who is invisible. And then, thank God, when we get our eyes open, we can see him who's invisible. And as our brother Sam was singing tonight, just to see him, to get a glimpse of Jesus, is worth more than all the things of this world. Yeah. Seeing him who's invisible. I have a lot of preacher friends. Thank God for them. I have some that start out with me. We were talking about it today. And by the way, it grabs me to hear some of these preachers talk about Dr. Bottlestopper this and Dr. Bottlestopper that. Now, we have a school in Atlanta, and I'll give you a DVD if you want it. It won't add anything to you, though, brother. I'll tell you that. Did you know that? But you know that these fellas wanted? They wanted to give me one. And I told them, I said, "Boy, you talk about being out of shape now. I tell you what I would." I said, "Everybody knows me as Brother Mays, and I don't care any about these little DVDs and these things of the school here. We've got a good school, and God's blessing it, and young boys are being taught the Word of God." But now listen, I want you to know this tonight. I've got some preacher friends that are high up, and I've got some that are way down. And I've got some that are suffering, and I feel sorry for my suffering ministers more than I do anybody. I've got a preacher friend in Atlanta, Georgia. One of the finest preacher friends a preacher ever had. And in the day, he drives a truck. And he doesn't, he was pastoring the First Baptist Church, and his wife raised so much sand until he had to leave it. And he drives a truck and still goes on, preaches. Now, to me, that's great. To me, that's wonderful. Oh, to me, that's the very thing I know. And he calls me and says, Brother Mays, where are you going this week? I just want to encourage you and tell you that, Brother Mays, I love you. And many times, Brother Mays, I felt like closing my Bible and quitting. But, oh, I'd cut you in on the radio. And someone would say, keep on, Paul. Keep on. His first name is Paul. He told me here a few months ago. Well, it's been about over a year now. He said, Brother Mays, I've taken off. And he said, did you ever get down to pray and your wife standing kicking and pour liquor on you while you was praying? He said, did you ever go out and preach and come in and have her somebody up curse you and stick her fingernails and tear your face to pieces? I said, no, Paul, I never had that. He said, don't feel sorry for me. Just pray for me. But he said, the other night I came in and I'd taken about all I could take. I'd just gone as far as I could go. And he said, the only way I can pray in my house, I have to go in a room and lock a door. And I got a little room there by the bathroom. He said, I go in that room and I get on my knees. That's the way I pray. And I said, God bless you, Paul. I said, when you pray in that little room, I've got as much confidence in your prayers as I have any preacher in the world. I said, when you get down with that broken heart, oh, I said, reach up and get a hold of Jesus for me. And say, Lord, bless old me. So he's preaching. And I want to tell you many times, and I've been preaching in North Carolina and Virginia and Pennsylvania and all over the country, I felt the surge of the Holy Ghost. Woo! You say, what happened? Oh, Paul is locked in that little room. Glory to God. He reached up and got a hold of the throne. And I want to tell you, he loves God. But about a year and a half ago, he went in that little room, opened his Bible. It was 9:45. And he got on his knees and he said, God, I'm going to close my Bible and I'm going to quit. I've gone as far as a human being can go, and I haven't told you half of it. I haven't told you half. I remember when his only brother that he ever encouraged him, I was with him in the First Baptist Church at Simsville before his brother died. And he looked at me that night. He said, my wife's out drinking. She's wanting to come in and sing in the service. And he said, Mays, the only brother that's ever encouraged me is right here. And I loved him, and he thinks he's going to die, and he wants me to preach the funeral. I said, Paul, you've got enough worries about thinking about funerals. Your brother's healthy. Forget it. You better be thinking about that wife out there. You know, my wife had to go out and hold her. And then through 2 weeks later, his brother was killed down in South Georgia. They brought him home. And Paul was to preach in the all-night service in Atlanta. And while his brother was lying corpse, I told Brother Kendrick, I said, Al, Paul won't be here. His brother's lying corpse. And I said, he won't have this, brother. But at 9:45, when he was to preach at 10, Paul walked down the aisle with his Bible on his arm. And he got up at 10 o'clock and preached a masterpiece. Never mentioned his brother, the only brother he had that ever encouraged him to preach. And while he was preaching, his mean wife came in, and my wife took her back in the bathroom and held her while he was preaching. And I could tell you things that made you a hair curl. But here, about a year and a half ago, he went in a room there next to the bathroom, little room, locked the door. He said, God, I'm going to quit. I can't take it any longer. I'm going to quit! And he opened his Bible and tried to read. And at 9:45, he bowed his head and started to pray. He said, I'm going to quit. At 4:15 the next morning, he was still over that Bible. And he said, oh, Mays, you never know. He said, when I started to close the Bible and quit, he said, Jesus appeared before me. And he said, Paul, they haven't put a crown of thorns on you yet. Paul! They haven't nailed your hands to the old rugged cross yet. Paul, they haven't beat you back yet. Paul, they haven't spit on you yet. When you're dying hours, and are you going to quit? And he said, Mays, God opened my eyes. And I saw him who is invisible. Thank God. Let me tell you something. The sweetest thing in the world is when your heart breaks a million pieces and you feel that the load's too heavy to bear. And about that time, Jesus comes and holds up the nail. Oh, about that time, Jesus comes. And thank God, pulls open his side and says, it was for you that I suffered. And I bled and I died seeing him who's invisible. What a blessing it is to see the precious Son of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, little eyes. I had some more things to say, but I think that's enough. The outline, may God finish it sometime. While your heads are bowed, Jesus said, Nicodemus, you're ruler of the Jews. You've studied religions, but you can't see. You're blind. You're spiritually blind. You can't see the kingdom of God and spiritual things. You don't understand. He said, you have to be born again to understand and see these things. Before you can see the kingdom of God, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. You know what Paul said to the church at Corinth? 2nd chapter, verse 14. The natural man cannot understand or receive the things of the Spirit, for he's spiritually discerned. He's blind. He can't see. And I don't know why the Lord wanted me to bring this message to you tonight. Saturday night, I was in my room after Brother Red left me. I said, Lord, I want to be true. These people have prayed. I said, Lord, they've been faithful to you. I said, Brother Cliff has prayed till his voice has gone down. He's tired, but he's been faithful as a pastor. And I said, Lord, these members have really prayed. The Lord said, I want you to give them something to encourage them a little bit. Tell them that they can see what other people can't see. They've got an insight on spiritual things. The world can't see the things that they can see. Maybe you've been wanting to quit. Maybe you felt like putting your Bible down. Maybe you thought many times it's not worth it. But about that time, the Lord would open your eyes and you could see. You might have been discouraged. A little preacher who I came up to the other night, bless her little heart, I thought she was in prayer. She said, Brother Lee, you don't know how the devil works on you. I go up to church and nothing happens and my husband's faithful and I get so discouraged. She said, I was about ready to quit. I told Jesus and I'm ready to keep on keeping on. Hallelujah. Praise his name. I hope that you'll get a glimpse of Jesus tonight. Oh, listen to me. That'll cure any discouragement that you have. And I don't know who this message is for. All I know, God said, preach it. I do my best to mind God. I want to be true. I want to be subject to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Oh, beloved, I want God's way in my life. I know my life. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be true to the book and the blood and the message. I'm glad that God can open our eyes when we see some things. I wonder why your head's about, Brother Black's ready, Mrs. Smith's ready to play. I appreciate you being so kind. Listen, how many of you back here tonight said, Brother Nave, God spoke to my heart. I need to come to the altar. I don't know why. I'm going to ask you why. That's not in my business, but it's your and God's business. You're back there tonight, and God spoke into your heart. This sermon was for you. I don't know who it's for. All I know is I've tried to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. I tried to say, Lord, you lead me, now I'll follow. And I wonder what it's about. You back there, you say, preacher, that was for me. Hold up your hand and you see it tonight. Let me see it. God bless you. Amen. There's one, but I know there are more. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Are there others? God bless you. 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 God bless you tonight. Isn't that wonderful? God bless you. God bless you tonight. God bless you. How many of you said, Brother Mays, I'm not right with God. I want you to pray for me. Lift up your hand. Let me see it. Would you lift it up there? I want to pray for you. God bless you. Amen. Is there another? God speak in your heart, beloved. Slip up your hand. There's another anywhere. Last time I asked him, I'm going to pray. He said, well, God bless you, mister. Oh, let's pray for these two men. Beloved, God's working. The Holy Spirit's moving. Is there one more? Is there one more? Father, we thank thee tonight for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee tonight for thy word. We thank thee for the illumination of the Spirit. We're glad, Lord, that you can open eyes that are blinded.
Oh, God, you can take Christians who have scales over their eyes, and you can drop those scales. Let us see the glory of God. Lord, I want to thank you tonight.
Sing all night.
Yes!